We are welcome to another edition of The Secret Flow, and this episode has been titled Talent or Skill is Not Enough, and the subtitle remains How to Engage the Speed of Confidence for Great Exploits. When growing up, I know most of us have known the emphasis people have placed on the place of gifts and talent, and it almost looks like you can't really achieve any form of major success without being gifted or talented. Like in sports, music, in arts. I've had my own share of gifts and talents in different areas of life, especially in arts. I have seen that talent is not enough and skill is not enough. Going through school and all that, I had to learn so many things, learn so many software, learn different things. But I realized that didn't bring me success for decades. Now, why is talent or skill not enough? Because it was never meant to be enough. This episode is not for downplaying the place of gifts, talents, and skills, but to show you how to maximize them. Meaning that we are not saying that gifts or talents or skills are not required for success, or neither are they not good for success, but they are not enough. It's not a guarantee that you're going to have success. Talent demystified. Matthew 25, 14 to 30 tells us about the gift of talents. That's actually where the word came from. The talent's actually a form of payment in the olden Roman era. And there was a merchant who was going out and gave to his servants talents. Gave to the first one some talents, 5 talents. Gave to another one 3 talents. Gave to another one 1 talent. And he gave to them, the Bible says, based on each person's ability. Meaning that he gave them based on what he knows they could actually achieve. So it wasn't because of their doing. It wasn't because of anything they demanded. He just gave to them based on what they felt they could do. The same way God, though God's own is a bit different, he knows what we can do. In fact, he put the ability there. And he gave to each one of us talents and gifts to make sure life is easy, to make sure it is easier for us to achieve success in life. What are talents or natural gifts? The dictionary defines talent as natural aptitude or skill. It means that these things come naturally. We didn't really do anything to get them. We didn't work to get them. They were just given to us. We woke up in our lives to see these talents at work in us. Talent is just a lubricant that makes the motor of your success run more smoothly with less friction, but it is not the fuel that runs things. We must understand that. That talent is just like a lubricant that you put in a car or in any motor to make sure it runs smoothly with less friction. You only have a future because you have enough confidence to step out, not because you have enough talent. You may have all the gifts in the world. You may have all the talents in the world. You may have all the skills in the world. If you are not going to step out by faith and in confidence, there is no guarantee that what you have planned to achieve will see the light of day. The only guarantee is because you stepped out with confidence in God and confidence that God has given you the best of gifts in the world. Every talent is like the ant-like cloud which Elijah saw after praying for rain to fall in 1 Kings 18 and 19. Elijah prayed that rain should fall after it didn't fall for about 3.5 years. And guess what? He asked his servant to go and check. And the servant said, I saw cloud like a hand rising from the river. Told Ahab and his chariot to begin to run. He himself had divine speed to run ahead of Ahab's chariot. So what that tells us is that cloud looked like nothing. It was just very small. He said it was like the hand of a man rising out of the sea. But Elijah saw that this was potential. So talent is just information, or at least defined as the potential that something great could happen if we care to engage with what it takes. It's just a potential. It's just an information. It's just telling that something great can happen if you care to do what is required. Talent only produces about 10 to 20% of success. Confidence plus action produces about 80 to 90% of success. While talent plus confidence plus action produces all of success. So your success comes from the wins you have, not from the talents you have. It comes from you stepping out to fight, you stepping out to do what it takes, you stepping out to do what is required. That is how success comes. So what is confidence? 2 Chronicles 32:10. If you check it, it says, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was saying that to the king of Judah. He said, "Oh, what are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege?" In KJV, he says, "What is this confidence you have? Why are you so confident? What makes you sure that I won't overrun your government?" Sennacherib has been tormenting the people of Israel, telling them to just surrender, that he was going to destroy them. He was taunting them, telling them they have no option but to surrender because he was powerful. In fact, he told them how many cities he had already destroyed, how many countries he had already overcome, telling them what makes their own difference. So confidence is that which makes you dare the impossible. It makes you know that you can actually forge ahead and step ahead. The Bible says you should not lose your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. Without confidence, talent has no reward, and it is nothing but just dreams. If you don't have confidence, there is no guarantee that your talent is going to achieve anything, because it takes confidence to step out and to step into the future. Nobody knows what the future holds except God reveals it, of course. And even when God reveals it, it's not going to reveal everything. But you need enough confidence to step out and do what it says. Confidence is the conviction of ability, or confidence in a person or in a specific truth. It is conviction that something can happen. It is conviction that you can do something. It is conviction that someone is with you. It is conviction that you can actually take the next step. We could see in Joshua 1:9, God telling Joshua over and over, in almost the Joshua chapter 1, God was telling him that, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." He was just telling him, "Be confident in me. Be confident that I have called you. Be confident that what I have said about you is going to come to pass." The word confidence should let you know that there are fears, doubts, contentions, and enemies to face. That is actually what it means, that there are challenges to face ahead of you. It is the presence of a temptation to go in or to give in. You are tempted whether you should give up, whether you should give in or throw in the towel. Psalm 27 verse 3 says, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Will I be confident in my God?" Wars will come, challenges will come, but he said that in my God will I be confident. Praise God. So we must understand that without confidence, success is really far-fetched. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:7, it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." So we know that confidence is what makes the difference. From Matthew 25:14-30, the Bible shows us that success is a game of confidence. It is the game of confidence exchange between the giver and receiver of talents. The merchant showed confidence in the servants based on their ability and expected them to trade based on their confidence in him. Without confidence in the one who sent you, you can't do his assignment. The difference between the first two servants who invested their master's talent and the third who didn't is their level of confidence in the master. If you don't have confidence in God, you can't step out. If you don't have confidence that God has given you gifts, you can't step out. What if one third of Christians in the world really believe that God is real? Do you know how many Christians do not really believe God is real? What if you really believe that God answers prayers? And what if you really are conscious of his ever-abiding presence in our lives? It's not what you think. It's not about how much you say that, "Oh, I believe God is real. I believe God is there." No, it's about what happens when challenges of life come against you. What are you going to do when you are scared? What are you going to do when challenges of life come? That is the proof of whether you really believe in God or not, whether you are really confident in him or not. So what form of confidence are we supposed to have for success? Number one, confidence in God. You need to be God confident, no matter who you are, even if you are Prophet Moses. You will go through a time of patience, trials, tests, and temptations. You can go through the episode on patience to understand some of this. Imagine Moses. God spoke to him in a burning bush. That was his supernatural experience. Bush was burning. It was not consumed. He turned his rod to a snake and reverted it, made his hand leprous and reverted it to normal. Yet it took several days of plagues, signs, and wonders to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. Imagine that. With all that God did at first, you would think he would get to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, "Hey, hello, Pharaoh. Let my people go, because Jehovah, the Elohim God, is telling you to go." It didn't happen that way. Without confidence in the Yahweh who sent him, Moses will have fled. Remember, in the patience episode, we understood that one of the ways you know that God is with you is that you will see his hand in different areas of life, because success is progressive. Moses didn't see the result he expected. Pharaoh didn't just give up, but he could see the signs, he could see the wonders, he could see the plagues. He knew that God was still working. The end result was not met, but he could see God in other areas of life. So confidence in God kept him going and going over and over again to Pharaoh. He went to the mountain to talk face to face with God, only to come back to see the people worshiping idols. You can imagine, you led a set of people out of Egypt. They saw the sign, they saw the water being parted, and you went to talk to God. By the time you returned, this same set of people were worshiping idols. It takes confidence in God to keep trusting that God. A journey of 40 days to 40 years. It takes real confidence in God to still talk on his behalf. Are you really confident in God? That is the first confidence you're supposed to have. Number two, confidence in what God said about you. What has God said about you? What has he said about your future? What has he said is going to accomplish in your life? You must be confident about what he said. You must be sure that you know the God who talked to you. And not only that, you must be sure of what he said about you and what he said you're going to accomplish. And number three, confidence in your talents, gifts, and ability. You must be confident that God gave you the best of talents, of skills, of ability. You need to value what you have and be confident that it is the best you could have ever had. And you must know that all you need to do is to turn that raw material into finished product. I know a pastor who rekindles his confidence by saying to himself, "I was born to do this," when he feels a little inferior because he has to preach after another greater man of God has just preached. Imagine if a very great known man of God just preached and you have to preach after him. And he says every time he faces that, he says, "I was born to do this." What were you born to do? You must be confident that God gave you the best of gifts, of talents. Remember, what you see now is not the end result of that gift or talent. It is just the cloud-like hand that Elijah saw, but he took action. It is not the end product. It is just the raw material. So when talent fails, confidence thrives. We must understand that. Confidence is what makes your talents work. Talent can actually fail, so to say. But when you have confidence, that talent can still work again. Let's see some examples. When the skills of the armies of Israel failed, David's confidence in God prevailed. Was David the best fighter in Israel? Of course not. Saul, the king, was even there. But none of them were confident enough to face Goliath. But David, with the little skill he had, he was confident in his God. And he was confident that if he could just use the gift the God has given him, the sling, and if he could throw it, a stone at Goliath, it could bring him down. That confidence made David the hero of his nation. Gideon was highly empowered by God, but cowed down in a threshing floor when he was supposed to be in the battlefield. When talent fails, confidence thrives. The same Gideon, we could say that his talent failed because the Bible said about him, said, "That mighty man of valor, go in his thy might." That means the might was there, but he didn't have enough confidence in God. That can be seen from what he said. He said, "If God was with us, why are all these things happening to us? If God is still with us, why are these things happening?" These 10 spies said they could not, but the confident Joshua and Caleb said they could. It was because of their confidence in God they said they could. Confidence is putting your life in your hands to do what others said is not possible. Biblical examples of confident people. We mentioned some of them. Moses lacked talent, but God gave him confidence. The assignment of Moses was totally dependent on communication. But he said about himself, he said, "I'm a man of slow speech. I can't really talk well. I'm not a good communicator." But God said, "If you can only be confident in me, I will make sure you can achieve this assignment." So talents had almost nothing to do with the success Moses got. Gideon had talent, but lacked confidence until he had confidence in God and confident to step out, to believe what God said about him. He didn't have any success. David added confidence to talent and became a global hero. King Saul's lack of confidence brought him down. He had no confidence in what God had said. He had no confidence in God's word. Samuel told him, "I'm coming, wait." But he had no confidence. And he began to do the wrong thing because he had no confidence in God. So how do I build confidence? Number one, you must see others who accomplished what you want to do as not having to it. You must tell yourself, "If this person can do it, then I can also do it." You must be confident that if God has helped other people to do it, I can also do it. So you must be confident that others who accomplished it do not have to yet. Number two, how do I build confidence? God does not lie. You must have confidence in God that he cannot lie. Number three, count the cost. Is the end result worth it? David, Jesus, most of the other people, they counted the cost and that gave them confidence. Daniel counted the cost, that gave him confidence. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego counted the cost. They said, see, we are ready to die. Their confidence was built up. You must count the cost. Is your gift worth pursuing? Is the purpose of God for your life worth pursuing? God said he called Abraham to bless him. Every time God calls, it is to bless. You must know that. Count the cost. What is the cost? Blessing that God wants to give you. Is it worth it? If it's worth it, then get the confidence and step out. And number four, which I believe is one of the best ways to build confidence, apart from confidence in God, you must prepare yourself and your work. You must make sure you are ready. Do what it takes. Get trained. Without preparation, confidence is mostly lost. If you're going to write an exam and you didn't read, what do you think happens in that exam? Or you lose your confidence. You begin to wonder what happened. You see the question paper and you're asking yourself, what are all these things I'm seeing? You have no confidence that you will succeed in that exam. But let's say you've been preparing for that exam for the last 2 years. You've read your textbooks like 3 times over and over again. You go to that exam with another form of confidence. That is how life is. Many Christians are just rejoicing over their talents, but they are not doing the work required to take that talent to the finished state. Talent at best is raw material. It is just a potential, like we said earlier. It is just an information that something can be done. You must get trained in that area. You must build it up. That is the skill you are supposed to have. Confidence should push you to get trained. And once you get trained, you can see that you can do more than you can even imagine. Through mentorship, you can see that, oh, so I can actually achieve that. Through training, you can see that you can actually do that. Look at all these footballers in the Champions League. When they started out, many of them are just like everybody else. They just had the talent. They knew they could do it. But confidence pushed them to go and train. When they get trained, they become outkick for the whole world to call. If we don't engage the force of confidence, we can just be looking at success and to be far away, far, far, far away from us. But that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Whatever God has called you to do, you will feel it in grand style in the mighty name of Jesus. And we must know again and again that number one, talent is just an expression of God's confidence that you can do what he has asked you to do because he knows that he built the structure in you. He knows that he built the strength in you. He knows that he built you. He structured you up for that future. So we must step out in faith and begin to do what we have been called to do. And I pray that as we step out in faith, that we begin to accomplish what we never accomplished before. In Jesus' name. Amen. So you are good enough for your stuff. You don't need external approval. All you need is confidence to take the right steps. And remember, confidence in God, confidence in what God has said about you, and confidence that God has prepared you for the work, that you can actually do what God has said you can do. Praise the Lord. Talent is what comes to you naturally. Your natural inclination, something that you can do easily, better than others, naturally. But skill is what you got along the line. Maybe when you got to this world, it didn't come naturally, but you become skilled. For example, you learned how to use the computer. That's a skill. The issue is that, let me say, your skill should be focused on your talent. You get skilled in using your talent. And talent, most times, is not something you can use in one way. There are several ways of using the same talent you have. For example, somebody is good with music. Someone could just be writing music. Is it not still music? It's still music. Someone is singing. It's music. Someone is recording music as an artist. We could say that, okay, it's still music skill. But, you know, the skill you get along the line, we now begin to make sure your talent is useful. That is it. And sometimes the skill you get is not even related to your talent in any way, but it's still a gift. But that your skill does not guarantee that there's going to be success. For example, growing up, I got a lot of skills in different areas. For several years of my life, I couldn't really find expression using those skills. And that brings us to the next topic we'll be looking at, that's the law of focus. How you can actually maximize your life through focus. Because if I mention how many things I can do, I know you'd be surprised. But many of them, let me say most of them, didn't bring the kind of result I wanted until I was focused in just one area. And most times it takes being focused in one area to achieve success. So next week we'll be looking at the law of focus, which makes the difference. If you look at all the successful people in the world, for example, Mainz Muro. What do you remember about Mainz Muro?
We remember that
he's a teacher, was teaching people everywhere. That's all we remember about him. But do you know that this same guy is an artist, he's a pianist, he sings, he writes, he draws. But we don't know all that about him, but he focused on just one area. And it is something that is difficult for multi-talented people. If you are multi-talented, you have a lot of gifts. It can be difficult to focus. If you just have one gift, you can sing. You know that, okay, let me just be singing. But if you can sing, you can write, you can run, you can draw, you can do all these kind of things, then you may be a little confused. And success may even be slow if you are not mentored into focus. So that's what we'll be looking at next week. The law of focus, how we can use it to accomplish good success. And I pray that as we come also, we will surely be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you. Let's step out this week in confidence in God, knowing that what God said about you is actually true. And once you step out in confidence, you see the difference it makes. If you want to see a client this week, step out in confidence and say, yes, hello, I am good at this and I can really do it. But you know your confidence is actually in God and the skill or talent that God has given you. Step out in confidence. Knowing God is with you, you see the difference it makes. In fact, before you sleep tonight, look around you. Tell yourself, God is with me. I am good. God has created me to do what he has created me to do. It will change your whole perspective and bring you super success. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week in Jesus' name. Amen.